Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
You are listening to the 23 Personnel Podcast, where food and sports clash at the goal line. Here are your hosts, Spencer and Michael.
All right, everybody, welcome back to another episode of the 23 Personnel Podcast. I'm your host, Spencer, joined by Michael.
Hello, everybody. It's football time. It is time.
Whoops. I was trying to catch it right at the very end of that clip, and I actually just hit play. Good times.
It worked.
We are in mid-season form, week one.
Yeah, we're rolling.
We're ready to go.
We don't got time to stop. We got too much to get through.
We do, and we are making a commitment to you. This episode will be under 60 minutes.
Count it.
We're 50 seconds in.
So we got it. We got to move. What's our first topic?
We're running behind. All right. We just really wanted to mention, we're just going to just dive right in.
Sure.
I guess more of a informational thing, because it came out yesterday, I believe Monday, that the bus routes for game day pickup and drop off have changed. I think the pickup locations are still the same, like the West lot at USA, the John Walker Soccer Complex, and then the UMC parking lots. Those are all the same pickup locations from parking. But drop-off, instead of it being on the southwest side of the stadium outside of gate one, it's going to be on the north side of the stadium outside of gates 3 and 4. So really what that's going to do is there's going to be almost zero car traffic on the southwest side of the stadium, which is where basically everybody that's not a student walks up to the stadium.
The entire universe gathers northeast of the Frazier.
Yeah, which is still under construction. I was there a couple days ago.
Oh, yeah, they're doing all that addition. Yeah. They're adding that stuff on.
That upstairs bar area, loft, it's going to be pretty cool. Anyway, so it's going to move all that bus traffic away. It's going to be a lot more pedestrian-friendly, to use Keith Patrick's terms.
Yeah, I think that will kind of clear things up, and it may make it a lot, because I know that the band comes through there. Mm-hmm. Of course, they come through both sides. I think it'll be easier for the fans to see the band coming, and you know, the kids can see the band come through. I like it. We'll see how it works out.
Yeah. Also, from yesterday, Chris Beard had a fireside chat. A
couple of special guests.
Have you watched it?
Yes, okay. I have.
So, special guest that Mike was mentioning, Jim Rome was in town.
Fabulous.
And then Matt Wells also joined him. And I wanted to touch on a couple of quotes, some moments from the fireside chat. It was almost 10 minutes long. It was really juicy. There were lots of bits.
Well, it was basically a panel. He had two guests this time, which is, you know, really breaking format.
So first, with all due respect to Mrs. Wells, Chris Beard said, you know, when I saw Coach Wells at the press conference, like, yeah, he looks like a football coach. When I saw his wife, I knew he was a recruiter.
And then that was where he had to throw in the caveat, with all due respect.
With all due respect to your wife, sir.
Yes. Yes, of course.
They also had a really interesting discussion on, like, advice, relationship advice for students, which then kind of morphed into, like, well, it went from that to their music pick. I can't remember what Matt Wells said, but it was something
His was
recent.
A Kenny Chesney song.
I don't see.
It was kind of like a... Man, I can't remember what it was, but it was one of those "Hey, keep on going" kind of songs. I can't remember the Kenny Chesney song,
but the one from Chris Beard was gold.
Yes.
Do you want to?
Oh my gosh! If Adam, if you're listening, this is our favorite song, "Sister Christian," "Sister Christian" by Night Ranger. Oh, it's about to go up.
So I've probably heard this song before.
You've only been so lucky to have heard this song before.
But I pulled it up and I watched the music video, played it. I was like, man, this sounds familiar. I was reading through the comments. It was like nothing but 80s nostalgia, and it was perfect. Like, man, the 80s was such a simpler time. I would give 20 years off my life to go back and live the 80s. Music, there's no worries, no concerns. Like, I get it, man. I was born in the 80s. I was an 80s baby.
Years ago, I listened to Adam Carolla's show when he had...
A Loveline?
Well, not Loveline, but he had a live show in LA years ago. Kind of the first show that you could listen to online, basically podcast it. And for some reason, he was obsessed with this song, and this song got played a lot, and he just thought it was hilarious. And so I've known about this one for a while. It's just killer. So nice pick.
Yeah. He also mentioned drinking gotchas,
yeah,
which I think was a cover-up for not drinking or talking about drinking in front of his mom. But what they were, it was iced beer. I don't know if it was like the beer was poured over ice. Or if, like, they were just iced down.
I would imagine it was poured over ice, kind of like a chelada type thing.
And then...
Or chelada? However you say that.
Two little shakes of Tabasco. Gotcha. That sounds disgusting, by the way. That just sounds nasty.
And all the whole payoff was so he could tell his mom, no. We were drinking gotchas.
We weren't drinking beer.
We were drinking gotchas, Mom.
Last thing. At the Pep Rally Matador Monday this week, Chris Beard got up and spoke to all the students and said, hey, obviously... We need your presence at the home games. Matt Wells and the football team need your presence at the home games. And he promised that if the football team goes 6-0 at home this year, he will basically rent out Broadway for a big street party for students. So
he said it would be loud.
Yeah, I would imagine so. So yeah. It would be a controlled riot like it was after the Final Four.
Well, that one was... Yeah, after the Final Four was a controlled one.
I'm sorry, we have to move on. We're behind. We're almost a minute and a half behind.
All right, let's get into football. Do we have an intro for this one?
Oh, yeah, I'm not ready for it. I'm so sorry. Give me 1 second. So let's. This is bad.
I can preview what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about.
Let's do that. Let's
football, of course. But we're going to mention kind of some new news on guys that made. Went from walk-ons to scholarship guys. We've got our season predictions, for Tech just on total. Do we think we'll actually get that block party or not? Remains to be seen.
And then we will preview the Montana State Bobcats.
We did. I listened to a Big Sky podcast today. Sky Breakdown.
You were much more committed to that than I was.
Well, I had a long drive from DFW, so I'm good.
All right, you ready?
I'm ready.
Let's do this.
They go four up top. They throw the fade to Vasher. Caught. Touchdown.
With time. Delivered.
Hand off. DeMarcus Fields. Down the sideline. Touchdown. Red Raiders. 97 yards.
Harrell back to throw. Going deep down the sideline for Robert Johnson.
And oh,
he got it. Touchdown. Oh. Red Raiders. Robert Johnson, touchdown, Red Raider.
Take a shot to the end zone. It's a touchdown to Reginald Davis.
All day to throw. Over the top, Jakeem Grant. Touchdown, Texas Tech.
Second down now. Deep strike. Got the big man. Country.
We are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Cole spray and touchdown. Red Raiders with a second to go.
Let the scoring begin.
So we may have to update that throughout the season. We replace some of these older clips, but I don't know if we can. They're classic.
I know they're really hard to let go. Which one do you replace? We'll see.
I don't know. They're too good. All right. So first off, wanted to mention there were 8 walk-on players put on scholarship this week. You have probably seen some of the coverage. And goodness, if I had the numbers in front of me, I could tell you exactly who they were. Man, I'm so prepared this week.
What in the world?
I know.
It's almost like you have to be the producer and the podcast host all at the same time.
I mean, if I'd had all these windows pulled up to begin with. All right. Walk-ons put on scholarship. Tight end Tyler Carr. Tight end Connor Killian. Brother of former baseball pitcher Caleb Killian.
Hey, he was a walk-on.
So both Tyler Carr and Connor Killian were fullbacks on last year's roster. Wide receiver Caden Leggett. Linebacker Michael Nelson. I've actually never heard of his name before. He may be new-ish, or maybe just, I'm not sure. Inside receiver Mark Richardson, same with him. Inside receiver Dalton Rigdon. He's poised to get quite a bit of playing time this season. Running back Jax Welch, also included in some of the team captains. Defensive lineman Malik Asselfi. So, those are your 8 guys that have been put on scholarship. If you haven't seen the video where they announced it to the team on the big screen in the stadium, that's really cool. And they also have a video of some of the guys calling their parents and letting them know. Also pretty cool.
Congrats, guys. That's unbelievable achievement.
Yep. All right, let's jump into our predictions. Do you want to go game by game, or like you want me to go first and you go first?
I think we go...
Let's go game by game.
Yeah.
All right, Montana State, 1-2-3, win.
Win.
Oh, come on.
Oh, you really want me to do it at the same time?
Same time.
Okay.
It didn't work.
Samesies. We got it now.
You'll see this in the prediction post that Labar is putting together. For me, I'm saying while Montana State may be a talented FCS team, they will not be able to challenge depth or talent-wise to Texas Tech. We've seen much higher-rated FCS teams come into Lubbock and leave just absolutely whipped. So I think you win this one. I think the line's -25 for Tech. Put me down to cover.
I don't even know if that was... Well, when Seth wrote there wasn't a line, was that a line that Labar came up with? Or had he looked somewhere?
I'm sure he found it somewhere.
Either way,
I think it was between 21.5 and 25. I think it moved to 25.
Okay.
Either way, I actually asked Labar, what's the line set at? And then I was like, actually, don't care.
It's fine.
We're going to cover. You said win because...
Oh, same. Okay. I mean, I think...
same.
Who was it? Eastern Washington?
Mm-hmm. They were number 5.
Yeah, there was some upset alert watch or whatever.
56-10.
Yeah, and yeah. That got handled nicely. So I think it may expose some things that we knew were an issue, some that we didn't. One, our quarterback depth may be kind of a little bit rough once we get into the third string, because hopefully that's how this will work. That Duffy will get a good amount of playing time, at least a quarter or so.
And hey, don't spoil the depth chart. That's coming to play.
Oh, you're right. So anyway, yes, I think Tech will win.
Okay, UTEP, 1-2-3,
win.
All right, good. They are one of the worst FBS schools. Montana State may prove to be a tougher game than UTEP.
Yes, that's what I've been seeing too. They were last in a lot of statistical categories, I believe.
Mm-hmm. It's a home game, and... There won't be a contest.
It's a night game too, isn't that a 6 p.m. kick?
I don't know. We'll probably talk a lot more about it next week.
Yeah.
All right. At Arizona, almost surprisingly, I was kind of surprised that we didn't split on this one. 1-2-3,
loss.
All right. So yeah, the game against Hawaii where they ended up losing. It's a surprise that they lost to Hawaii, but having watched highlights and parts of this game, Khalil Tate is going to just carve us up, and I'm scared.
They had 21 points in the second quarter. Of course, that was after scoring 0 in the first.
Yeah.
And their defense is not very good. It could be a high scoring.
It could be. Playing on the road is not going to help.
No.
And Khalil Tate kind of worries me.
Yes, he worries me too.
Week four, you're actually off.
Yes.
You get a bye week, September 21st. Next week at Oklahoma, 1-2-3, loss.
Loss.
Oh my gosh, you weren't prepared.
I wasn't prepared.
This is one of those games on the schedule I think most everybody has already penciled as a loss. Just the skill position depth and talent, whether it's receiver, running back, quarterback.
Location,
the new defensive coordinator and all the talent on their defense. It's going to be a really monumental challenge for a first-year head coach in game four to go on the road at Oklahoma and steal a win there. You got anything else?
Nope.
So, one, if you're keeping track of these, we'll probably track these throughout the season too. And
oh, sure,
we'll talk about where we were right and wrong and how silly we may look at the end. Oklahoma State, home game. We actually have a split here, so I'm not going to have us go 1-2-3 because it's going to be weird. I have it down as a win. I think I'm probably overvaluing your win from last year, maybe. They may be a better team than they were last year. They may have severely underperformed last season where you shouldn't have beat them the way you did. But right now, that home game, I like it in your favor. I think they
have a better quarterback this year. I tend to side with history. I'm bad about this. And with just how things have gone against Oklahoma State at home the past five visits or whatever it's been, I don't see it going any differently. So that's where I am right now.
One of the highlights from the intro music was an Oklahoma State game. It's DeMarcus Fields' pick six at 97 yards.
Oh.
It was a Thursday night game. Or Saturday night game from a couple years ago.
Yeah.
Where they wore the red jerseys and the white pants.
Yeah.
It's a solid throwback jersey.
Yeah. We lost the game, though.
We did. We couldn't stop a quarterback run. Shocker. Also why I'm concerned about Arizona. Different defense, same bugaboo.
Yep.
All right. At Baylor, 1-2-3.
Loss.
I think Baylor is a lot better than they have been, than they were last year. I think they are continuing on their trend, especially considering Matt Rhule's history. His teams make a pretty significant jump year 2 to 3. His team made a big jump between years 1 and 2. They went from winning one game his first year to 7 games his second year. At Temple, it was like a 1-3-8 jump or whatever. Baylor, I think, is in that realm that may contend for the third or fourth spot in the conference, behind Texas, Oklahoma, and Iowa State. And you're on the road.
Yeah.
I don't think the playing in the stadium for the first time is going to be a big deal. I think it's just more of a road versus home.
All right. And there could be a little bit more turnout, because it's the first time Tech's been at that stadium. Who mm-hmm. knows? Baylor fans may not really care about that. I'm not sure. I could see Tech fans traveling pretty well, especially if they've just beat Oklahoma State like you think they did, and they're 3-2, so Tech fans may travel pretty well from Dallas down to Waco or Austin up to Waco, wherever they live.
Yeah,
I'm sure there's Tech fans that live in Waco too. I don't know why I'm
throwing
that out. I worry about them a little bit just because. You know,
Charlie Brewer, Denzel Mims.
Well, Charlie Brewer, if you listen to the Solid Verbals Fantasy Things podcast,
I'm working through it. It's so
he's got a little Baker Mayfield in him. That was one of their draft points, was that how many times is someone going to mention that they've got a little Baker Mayfield in him, and you got to raise your register like that. And Charlie Brewer made the list, and so did Alan Bowman for some reason.
British comedy legend Alan Bowman.
Yeah.
So when they defined what having a little Baker Mayfield to them meant, their definition was perfect. They said 5'10" and kind of a prick.
Yeah.
I was like, yes.
I think that's it.
Baker Mayfield.
So, but I don't think that's Alan Bowman. So I'm not.
No.
So whoever said that about Bowman, I think they're a little off. But they'd rattled off like 10 names.
I think what they were more going for is more of an undersized quarterback, like not a traditional size quarterback that may have a little move to him. Probably also white.
Yeah.
And may be a little douchey.
Crotch grabby.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, Iowa State home game, 1-2-3,
loss.
So we think Matt Campbell will continue to own Texas Tech. Your defensive scheme will better match this. You may have your best chance of winning this game that you have. But again, I haven't seen enough to project turning this series around after the way it's gone the past few years. You had a pretty good shot last year before you had those two really big momentum swinging defensive plays. One where, I can't remember if it was Broderick Washington, or it was defensive tackle that got called for a,
yeah, you had some really bad penalties.
Roughing the passer. He tackled Purdy like as he was throwing the ball, and he got called for roughing the passer.
Yep.
And then Jordan Brooks got ejected for targeting on a really iffy call that I think David Montgomery initiated contact with his head, and it was like, it pissed me off.
Right. And Bowman, this was his first game back, I believe, mm-hmm. His injury.
But he wasn't completely healed.
Sure, yeah.
The next week or week after that, he re-injured himself.
Right, and I think they drove him up there because
he couldn't fly.
Yeah, because of pressure issues on a plane. Yeah. That's not a good sign.
So for those keeping track, so far I've got Tech at 3-4, Michael 2-5.
Unfortunately, that in the midst also of includes a five game
losing streak right there in the middle,
which
will
be
of
the fourth time that will have happened since 2011.
All right.
Hopefully that doesn't actually happen, but hey, this is, y'all asked me to predict a game in October. Yeah. I mean August, and here we are.
So our next three games we have are the same: at Kansas, win. There was actually a question on Second of the Plains today. Is like somebody mentioned Kansas may have an opportunity to upset Texas Tech this year, and I said I can see where they're coming from, because in your scenario, like the way I pointed out, actually came through your prediction that in the midst of a five-game losing streak going up to Lawrence, you may be on the really bad end of some negative momentum.
True.
Where Kansas may be able to sneak one out. They're still awful. Like, it would still be an upset even if you were losing five games in a row. I don't think Les Miles will have his team pulled together to be doing those kind of conference upsets yet. I'm not even sure his system will work out in Kansas. I don't think they win but two or three games this year, maybe.
Yeah, that's kind of where I think this year is just going to be more of the same, with the chance of that getting better over the next couple years. But it's a slim chance. They've got a lot of work to do.
Speaking of having a lot of work to do, next the week after this, West Virginia, they lost a lot of guys. Which I think is how we both kind of came to this, plus with a new coach, 1-2-3.
When
we think on the road at West Virginia, you have got a pretty good shot taking down the Mountaineers. New quarterback, lots of new skill positions. Defense has a lot turning over. Troy Brown, his first year. Yeah, you're on the road, but I think you have a lot more returning talent than they do. Yes, you catch them in game 9 of the season. So, like, first-year players will not be first-year players at this point in the season, but you'll have as much experience as those guys anyways.
You've played pretty well in Morgantown, despite not winning
I think
there,
the last...
But you've played pretty well there.
Your last road trip up there was probably your worst trip, where you gave up the 22 unanswered, whatever it was.
Yeah, yeah.
The other
22
times,
in the fourth. It was 22 yeah. in the fourth quarter.
The other two times you played really well. You won one. I think you lost the other one, but it was close. I don't remember the series.
No, I don't remember it for sure either. But it was, I think, what was that guy? Trinket? Clint
Trickett.
Clint. I said the N, if anybody's listening. Clint Trickett. Yeah, I remember one of those games. I think we might have lost one of those.
Oh, yeah, we did. And then you return home to host TCU, 1-2-3.
When
I think, one, they did announce a starting quarterback. I can't remember if it's Alex Hogan or not Alex Hogan. That's a Tech player. Delton or the other guy. Either way, they have like 18 quarterbacks. And I don't think they even have like a really good starter. They've got some solid skill guys around him.
Oh, it's the K-State transfer. Alex yeah. Delton.
Alex Delton. Delton didn't win the starting job at Kansas State. I'm not really super concerned about Delton at TCU, besides being a semi-mobile quarterback, which you've had struggles with, but You were able to contain John Robinson last year. You didn't contain him the year before. So either way, you have historically played TCU really well at home, with the exception of 2 years ago when...
Oh, yeah, with just an ugly game.
The following week, you're still at home. Week before Thanksgiving, you're hosting Kansas State. We split here. I say you get a win. So Chris Kleeman coming in from South Dakota State, I believe, or North Dakota State. North Dakota State. It's a first-year coach. I think Bill Snyder left the cupboard fairly bare. And I think there's going to be a kind of a rough rebuilding year. We've also never seen anybody except Bill Snyder have success there, so it's kind of hard to think some new guy's going to do it in his first year.
Mm-hmm.
He may have long-term success. I just don't think it's going to happen in year one. Rebuilding the roster to fit Kleeman's system and on the road.
I kind of think the opposite. Not necessarily that it would happen early, but I can see Kleeman gaining momentum as the season goes. That's where I'm coming from here.
Sure, because this is game 11.
Yeah, this is game 11. These guys are probably going to come in, I don't know, 4-7, 3-3, or however you do that. Is it 3-8?
It'd be 3-7 or 4-6.
Okay, yeah, because you've got 10 games. All right, so that's kind of where I'm thinking. They're going to come in with 3 or 4 wins. They're really going to want this, and they may be starting to gel a little bit. He may have figured out his roster a little bit better. Guys may be, hopefully, you know, I mean, if I don't want anybody to be injured or anything like that, but, you know, if guys are healthy, that have stayed healthy this whole time, he's got his lineups figured out. I just can kind of see this being one of those games that I actually really had a toss-up. I felt better about TCU versus Kansas State, us winning the TCU game, but Kansas State just worries me more because I think that we could beat TCU, and if in my scenario we'd have 3 wins in a row, and then Kansas State comes in, maybe 3 or 4 win Kansas State, and we think, oh, okay, we can take care of business here, but Kleeman's got his guys rolling. So I don't know. I can just kind of see them catching momentum a little bit late and possibly taking advantage of it.
So at this point in the season, going into game 12, I have you at 7-4. Michael has you at 5-6. Going into Austin, unfortunately, we both agree on this one. 1-2-3 loss. We think the Texas team is going to be really talented. Herman's still building and developing this team. I just think the talent disparity being on the road, it's going to be, so it's the Friday after Thanksgiving, and the Fox primetime slot of 11 a.m.
on Black Friday.
On Black Friday. Nobody's going to be at home to watch this game.
They're going to be out getting deals, man.
Yeah, they're not going to be home shopping. From shopping yet.
They're going to be at Circuit City and Radio Shack.
Yep.
Just
getting those computers.
Breaking down the door, getting some...
DVD players.
Yeah. The DVD-VCR combo.
Oh, yeah.
That's where you knew where you had it made.
So, yeah, I think you end the game on a loss there, but you do finish the season 7-5. And this projection, I do have several top sets. I don't know enough about the other teams in the conference to feel super confident in this, but I actually do have you at a greater than 500 conference record. I have you at 5-4.
Right.
Which would be the first time you've done that since 2009. I had a winning record in conference. Conference wins against Oklahoma State, Kansas, West Virginia, TCU, Kansas State. Saying it like that, I feel pretty confident.
Unfortunately, even with your more optimistic record, there will be no Chris Beard block party.
Nope. With that loss, hosting Iowa State, that would nullify his offer.
Yeah. And I honestly, I'm not trying to be pessimistic, guys. I'm trying to be a little bit realistic and try not to put too many expectations on Wells, because I see so much of this stuff where, all right, Spencer, let's say, okay, you predicted 7-5, but if it was 6-6, would you be disappointed or feel like it was a bad season?
No. If they go 5-7, I'd be a little more disappointed.
Right.
Anything worse than 5-7, like, well, I was completely off base here.
Well, up until about 3 weeks ago, I could only talk myself into 4 wins. So I feel like I've gotten a little more optimistic. So I've talked myself into 5, and I feel like that's reasonable and that's attainable. Anything beyond that is going to be pretty darn great. And, we may have to revisit this after the Montana State game or after, maybe after the, during the bye week, maybe we revisit this and just kind of see if we would like to change some of our lists. Cause we've seen three games. We've seen one against a Power Five opponent on the road, who put up 38 points in Hawaii recently. So it's subject to change, but I'm not trying to be Debbie Downer here. That's kind of where I see it.
So I think when I filled out Rob Bro's season prediction spreadsheet, I guess I was drinking the Kool-Aid and I had us down for 9-3.
Oh,
because I was a lot more confident in beating Baylor and Arizona. I'm trying to be a lot more realistic or realigning myself with the professionals that know what they're talking about when they say we're setting the over under for Texas Tech wins at 6.5. Like, all right, so I'm gonna take the over at 7.
Mm-hmm. Not at 9-er.
But not at 9. All right. So as we get ready to start, look at game one this weekend, there was an official depth chart released. We're going to go through this pretty quickly. Michael, you said you may have looked at this for a second.
Just briefly, I was with my wife and daughter at Great Wolf Lodge this weekend, which was a blast, and I just got in town today, so I didn't get to see this depth chart.
So I'm going to go with your starters. We're going to start with the offensive line. Left tackle, Terrence Steele. He hasn't historically been at left tackle. Left guard, Madison Akamnanu. Center, Dawson Deaton. Right guard, Jack Anderson. Right tackle, Travis Bruffy. Any questions?
That seems good.
I'm excited about the depth there.
Was Steele injured at some point? Or am I making that
I think
that
he
up?
Was limited. I don't know if it was through the spring or early part of the fall.
Okay.
But he's listed as a starter and not even with an or.
Yeah, it's just
because there are Steele. A lot of ors on this depth chart. There's not one listed for Steele.
Gotcha.
Okay. His backup would be Zach Adams. They've got three guys listed for center. So they've got a second string Will Farrar or Bailey Smith at center. That's the only or across the offensive line.
Right.
Quarterback starter Alan Bowman. Not really a surprise. Backup, though, Jet Duffy or Jackson Tyner, the transfer from Rice.
Be interesting.
Depth for running back, there aren't any ors. Although, if you listen to Matt Wells' press conference, he said they will basically go series by series. Your starter will be Tajon Henry. Second string guy will come in on the second series, Armon Shain, then Sir Roderick Thompson. After that, he said basically they're going to ride the hot hand. Tight end, Dante Thompson, then Travis Kuntz. X receiver, so out wide to the left, you've got EZ, Eric Ezukanma. One of the things Wells noted in his press conference was Eric had the most reps at outside receiver since he's been here. He said he was durable. And he's had the most opportunities. So he's played the most snaps, had the most chances to prove his starting worth.
Okay.
I'm excited to see him start. Backed up by RJ Turner, the transfer, or Caden Leggett. So your inside receiver, not your tight end. Starter, well, it's actually or written across all three of these guys.
Yeah, I bet these guys will be rotating in and out, maybe multiple times in a series. I don't know.
Well, so one of the guys on Sinking the Plains, Will, a.k.a. FTW, says David Yost, his history suggests that he rolls with one offense for a series. He doesn't sub out mid-drive. Okay. But this may roll the same way. Like, it may be a game-time decision, or it may be very similar to the running backs. One guy will have a series,
plays really well, and they keep him in.
And the next guy will have the next series, and they'll do all three and then kind of evaluate hot hand.
Okay.
Sorry,
you never said who they were. I kept interrupting.
No, you're right. Dalton Rigdon, McLean Mannix, a transfer from Nevada, and walk-on Xavier White, transferred in from Dodge City Community College, but he's from Lubbock. And then the Z receiver far out to the right, TJ Vasher or Keyshawn Carter.
That's just so interesting to me still to see 6'6", TJ Vasher.
Backed up by 5'11.
Or 5'11 Keyshawn Carter. But I'm excited to see Carter on the outside and see what he can do, because that kid can move.
Yep.
If he gets the ball in his hands, look out.
So you really could go with a lot of speed with your receivers, with Ezukanma, any of the inside receivers, and Keyshawn Carter.
Yeah.
You got three really fast guys throwing a tight end and running back. It just got mismatches across the field. I like it. All right, defense. Remember, you'll have three defensive linemen. The way they're listed here is defensive end, nose, tackle. So your defensive ends, I don't know how to like describe this, not like having a picture or just going through. The lineup basically in front of the tackles, the offensive tackles.
Yeah, they're basically defensive tackles.
Right. Yeah, so, yeah, the bigger of the two is going to be designated by being the defensive tackle. So you've got the defensive end, going to be the smaller guy. Behind him is going to be the linebacker safety hybrid, the spur.
Okay.
And then behind the tackle is going to be the defensive end linebacker hybrid, the Raider.
Raider.
Okay. So on the end side, Eli Howard, not a surprise there, Nelson Mbanasor, or Tony Bradford, which is, the surprise that you got a true freshman competing for a backup spot here.
No kidding.
On the defensive line. He's listed at 6'1", 270, so he's put on a lot of weight. That's something that Wells mentioned as well, as how he's been able to break into that. Your nose guard, nose tackle, Nick McCann, 6'2", 310, backed up by Jalen Hutchings, 6'2", 95. And then your defensive tackle opposite of Eli Howard, Broderick Washington, 6'3", 305.
That's a man.
I like that as kind of a bigger defensive end size.
Yeah.
300 pounds. I can see that's kind of big. And
good luck running that way.
Eli Howard is not a small dude either. He's 6'4", 275.
Mm-hmm.
Raider, I think this is one of the positions we were a little surprised with, because
another freshman.
Going into this, until this was released, we were thinking the guy starting out here or competing would be Xavier Benson, backed up by Tyreek Matthews. But Tyreek Matthews is listed as a starter, as a co-starter, or with Rico Jeffers behind him. So your Raider, your rush end, Tyreek Matthews, true freshman, listed as a starter here, backed up by Rico Jeffers. Your inside linebackers, Jordan Brooks, starter, with Rico Jeffers at the other spot. So if there's a sub package where they take out an inside linebacker, move Jeffers over, that could be where he ends up. Xavier Benson ends up backing up Rico Jeffers. So he's not the Raider position. He's more of an inside linebacker. And then Spur, not really a surprise here. Evan Rambo will be your starter, the transfer from Cal, backed up by Adam Beck. He's a sophomore that I haven't really heard from a whole lot. So the other guy I think we're thinking that was going to back him was Quincy Addison. He's not listed there. Starting quarterback transfer Zach McPherson from Penn State on one side, backed up by John Davis. Other cornerback Desmond Smith or DeMarcus Fields. I would have preferred if it was flipped.
Yeah.
If DeMarcus Fields was listed as a starter with Desmond Smith backing him up. Fields has a ton of starts. Third on the defense with 23 career starts entering the season. So he started basically every game of his career.
Until this year. That's interesting.
Your safeties, Douglas Coleman and Adrian Fry. Backing up Adrian Fry, that last minute transfer, Jamarcus Ingram, is listed there as a backup.
Oh, so the guy that came from Utah State.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And then your specialist, even like recently they said the competition for long snapper and kicker is going to be game time decision, but expect your punter, I think, is one of the only ones that's been listed as a starter, Austin McNamara. Your holder, Mark Richardson.
You got your kickoff specialist too,
Trey Wolf. Your kick returner, Keyshawn Carter, Douglas Coleman, or Dadrian Taylor. So Dadrian Taylor is a defensive back, but played running back in high school. Punt returner, Adrian Fry, Zach McPherson, or Chuck Nwabugu.
There are a lot of freshmen listed in this group.
And lots of ors either.
Yes. Like I said,
long snapper, place kicker, kick returner, punt returner, all have not been decided as of Monday. Okay. Speaking of the Monday press conference, I wanted to touch on a couple things. One, Wells said the O-line plays like a fist. I thought that was a really interesting analogy. Talk about the five guys, the five fingers and a fist. Because I think John Sokoloff from the Raymar television side asked about the left side of the offensive line. And Wells kind of joked, like, you know, we play with three other guys too, right? But he was talking about if they don't play together like a fist, you know, if one is off, then they're all off. You know, if you look at the left side and they do well, but like the right tackle lets somebody past them, it's going to be an offensive line issue, not a right tackle issue.
Okay. Okay.
So I thought it was interesting. He compared it to a fist.
Yeah. I'm sure that comparison's been made, but I haven't heard it. And that makes a lot of sense. Mm-hmm.
And he also said Travis Bruffy will be the governor of Texas someday. So I wasn't able to finish all of Bruffy's appearance at the podium, but Wells said he will probably solicit some of your votes for his campaign during his press conference.
All right.
Let's talk about some Montana State just for a couple minutes. What do you say?
Sure. Yeah, man.
So because it's an FCS opponent and I'm not even sure where to begin, this is typically where our preview interview would go with the opponent. I think we're still going to try to do that this year.
Mm-hmm.
So imagine I play an interview for you right now where we talk about the opponent. Michael and I are going to fill in for this.
We've got some.
We're trying to.
Yeah, I mean,
we got some notes.
It's a team. Jeff Choate, he's there. It's his third year. They've kind of just they started off. Let's see, they're 17-18 right now. They won their first playoff game last year.
Yeah, they went
since 2014, round. I believe, was their mm-hmm. first win. Or no, 2012 was the last time they won. They went to the playoffs back in 2014, and this is the first time they got back. So they're coming off an 8-5 season. They beat Eric Morris's Incarnate Word
in the first round.
In the first round, and then lost to the eventual national championship, the aforementioned
North Dakota State.
And so they're part of the Big Sky Conference. You know, with Choate's last 3 years, they finished 9th, 3rd, then 4th. They are getting a lot of preseason love. FCS poll, coaches poll.
They're number 14 in the poll.
Well, to
start the season.
I think that's a different poll. They're 15th in the coaches poll, if that makes any difference. But I mean, you've got a lot of good, you know, offensive stats here. They're pretty even on. I think they allowed, what was it that Seth pointed out?
So they scored and allowed exactly 28.5 points per game.
Yeah. So that's going to be a lot of. A lot of close games, I guess.
I think the only
what
game
the
that
odds
wasn't
that?
Only game that wasn't close is when they lost to North Dakota State, and it was like 56-10 or something.
Oh, okay,
that number's stuck in my head. So yeah, their offense and defensive numbers are pretty even in terms of yards per game, points per game. How the offense moves the ball though, very one sided. They're a very rush heavy team. Last year, they had over 3,000 rushing yards. Ooh. To just 1,800 passing yards, about 370 per game, 140 passing to 230 rushing. They turned the ball over 25 times this season, which is kind of high. And one of the stats that kind of stood out to me is kind of surprising. They only converted 34% of their third downs. They were 58 of 172.
Wow.
So looking at some of the offensive starter guys you should be aware of, they named redshirt freshman Casey Bauman their starting quarterback. He's listed anywhere between 6'6 and 6'7, about 235 pounds. Seth pointed out per Bauman's bio, this is listed, that he worked construction and bucking hay during summers.
That sounds like a Montana thing to do.
Yeah. Backup would be Tucker Rovig. I think he was considered like a front runner for the starting job from the articles I read all through the spring. Probably going to be your backup. Also not a small dude, 6'5". Your starting quarterback from last year was actually a converted running back, and they have since moved this running back to linebacker. Jeff Choate said that he believes linebacker is Troy Anderson's natural position. But listen to some of the stats that that Anderson put up. He had 1,200 passing yards. Like, he wasn't a terrible passer. 55% completion, only 3 touchdowns and 7 interceptions. Had more than 1,400 rushing yards for almost 7 yards a carry.
Good gosh.
21 rushing touchdowns. So he himself was responsible for 24 touchdowns.
He's a 6'4", 235 is a large running back.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to point out something else. I listened to the Big Sky Breakdown podcast, which had Monday's press conference with Coach Choate. And he had a couple of interesting tidbits thrown in there. One of which, speaking of position changes, I just wanted to point out two things. There's Nolan Askelson, which is a linebacker for Montana State. He actually played quarterback in high school.
So that sounds very much like a Gary Patterson type move.
Yeah, well, they've got and there's another guy. There's a guy, Amondre Williams, defensive lineman, 6'2", 235. He's a junior, also played quarterback in high school. So Choate's obviously able to find some guys and use them wherever they need to be used. And mm-hmm. I think this may be kind of common to what you see in FCS. I was having to scroll through their roster just because I was interested in. I mean, a lot of these guys are majoring in mechanical engineering, chemical engineering, biological engineering. I don't even know what that is.
In Bozeman, Montana.
Yeah. I mean, and they're legit student athletes. Mm-hmm. And, that's why you've got a guy that played quarterback who's now a defensive lineman coming into Lubbock, playing a Power 5 team. And one other little tidbit I wanted to mention before we can get back to actual players. Choate spent a lot of his time at the beginning of the press conference kind of illustrating the difference between Texas Tech and Montana State. And you know that our stadium holds 40-something thousand more fans than theirs, and we have 22 more scholarship players than they do and all that stuff. But one of the most interesting things he said is, just to show you the kind of budget that they operate with, I think that Tech operates with a $70 million budget. And he said, just to point that out, my base salary as head coach here is $40,000 less than their lowest paid assistant coach.
Ouch.
Yeah. So he was just kind of basically telling everyone, all right, this is what we're up against. We understand what it is. It's basically a preseason game for us, and they're going to rotate a lot of guys in. So I expect that you would see Bauman in, and Rovig.
That's not going to be confusing at all. Bauman, yeah, versus Bauman.
QB Bauman versus QB Bauman. And I think Rovig will come in. I think he's going to rotate a lot of guys in to get him some playing time.
And Wells said as much. He said that they're preparing to face four Montana State quarterbacks, because you could see Bauman, you could see Rovig, you could see Anderson, and you could see like a Wildcat, a running back kind of move over there.
You could see that defensive lineman, they just want to put him back there for a couple. I'm just kidding.
And then, sorry, one more thing on the starters on the offensive side. Running back Isaiah Afonso, 5'10", 195. He set the freshman rushing record for Montana State last year. Just over 1,000 rushing yards, 7 touchdowns, nearly 5.5 yards per carry. So between Afonso and Anderson last year, just I want to read some of these numbers to you because it's just ridiculous. Those two combined for 402 of the team's 531 rushing attempts. So 76% of the time that Montana State ran the ball, it was to one of those two guys. They combined for 2,400 of the 3,000 rushing yards. So ooh, 81% of the rushing yards came from those two guys.
Ooh.
Over on the defensive side, we've already kind of mentioned they gave up as many points. They scored 21.5 points per game, gave up about 400 yards, 213 through the air, 195 on the ground. And a couple other things that I found were a little interesting. Only tallied 24 sacks on the season, so about 2 per game. They're not providing a lot of pressure on quarterbacks. This other number like really jumped out at me. They forced 28 fumbles last season. Now, they only recovered 11 of them, but yeah, the recovering part is more of the luck than forcing of them. Forcing 28 fumbles is just stupid good.
Yes.
And they intercepted 12 passes, which is, I think, is about what you intercepted last year too. So their defense is good at turning the ball over. They may not be recovering all the fumbles. Obviously, you never do, but forcing 28 fumbles and then intercepting the ball 12 times, that's a lot of turnovers forced. One last thing before we move on, before we wrap up the show, since we're kind of moving along. I don't know if we have a score prediction. I think we said from Labar's, excuse me, his prediction post he's putting together, I think the line is like
25
minus 25 for Tech.
Yeah.
And I'm predicting Tech to cover that.
I am as well.
Okay. So it's going to be a 4-touchdown game at least. Give me 28 points and I'll be fine.
Sure. Sure. That's kind of what I'm, that's where I'm looking at it.
All right. If you don't get enough of us already, we will be, as a reminder, joining Countdown to Kickoff pregame show on Talk 1340, The Fan, Rob Bro and Carson Robinson. Show will begin 3 hours before kickoff. So we will go on the air right after noon on Saturday and then go for 2 hours right up until 2 o'clock. Michael and I will hit the road, head up to the stadium, watch the game, catch some post-game press conference video, and then do our post-game reaction. Location TBD.
Yeah, I know we're figuring out our technical stuff there. It's going to be great. Follow Rob Bro Show. RobBraux.
He's Cajun.
So follow that. And Carson Robinson is at KARob_radio. Also follow Talk 1340 on Twitter. Mm-hmm. As far as our handles, go ahead and follow my new handle. I changed
it. You finally did it.
From Random Letters and Numbers, LSR, or I don't know, 07, whatever it was before. Now it is Michael_LBK. So hopefully that's easy to remember. Spencer, of course, is Punts Suck. He feels very strongly about this.
They always have and they always will.
And you can follow the podcast. Please follow us at 23 Personnel. And to jump into that, we have some questions that have been submitted to the at 23 Personnel Twitter account that we're going to start rolling into.
Yeah, we do.
Now, are these really the questions that I was called here to answer?
Who's in the box? Oh, what's in the box?
I'm Ron Burgundy.
Damn it! Who typed a question mark on the teleprompter?
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
All right, let's get to your questions this week. Got a few more than we have in the previous few weeks. Appreciate everybody interacting.
Yep.
Let's roll it back. Okay. There are several. Let's go all the way back to the beginning.
Always picks up a little bit football season.
Oh, and we love it. Okay, so Kyle Jacobson first. How jealous was Keith Patrick of my tie today? One, I thought it was interesting that he wanted to bring in somebody else on this. So I responded like, first, we're going to need to see a picture of the tie. Second, like we may have to phone in Keith Patrick to weigh in. So Kyle did send us a picture. If you go and look at our mentions, it is a light blue background tie with are those roses?
I'm not sure, but
it's a floral print.
It's a floral print. I can
red, purple, and blue flowers.
I can guarantee if you're listening to this, your grandmother at some point had either a decorative pillow or a couch.
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
With this pattern. And I respect that.
Probably wrapped in plastic.
This is probably recycled from one of those couches wrapped in plastic because it was kept so pristine that they were able to just take those couch cushions and convert them into ties, probably some, maybe the occasional sports coat or the inside lining of a nice sports coat. I would see that on the street and think, wow, that's a fashion forward individual.
So Kyle sent us a picture of the tie. He said he paired it with a navy suit.
Yeah, that's pretty nice.
I'm sure he would have been looking a lot like Marty Smith if you were catching the solid verbal. Really, really fashionable dude. Keith Patrick weighed in, though. He responded, "The voice of the Tigers envies no man."
Yes. In case y'all didn't know, friend of the show, contributor to Staking the Plains, founder and
host of
Dinger Derby podcast, Keith Patrick is the voice of Friendship Tigers football this year. So catch him on Friday night, I believe.
Friday nights.
Starting his first game as the voice that you'll
main
hear.
Main play-by-play guy.
Yeah.
I'm excited. I don't really follow Friendship football. I may because of Keith.
I'm sure I'll tune in a little bit just because I've got to hear the dulcet tones of Keith Patrick.
Kyle had like 18 other questions. What do y'all think about the matchup with Arizona after they lost to Hawaii? I'm still concerned about Khalil Tate.
Very, very concerned.
It looked like, despite the 2018 struggles with Kevin Sumlin not knowing how to use Tate, may have figured it out, unfortunately, which is kind of strange because he's had running quarterbacks before. Kyle goes on to say, it's hard to learn anything from playing FCS team, but what could we realistically learn about this team Saturday? I think most importantly, depth and where some of those guys are at. Wells mentioned he will typically play four wide receivers. Like most outside receivers, X and Z, he'll play four guys. Early season, we may be playing six guys.
Well, we may learn some situational things. Mm-hmm. I know that you've broken down the defense very thoroughly, which check that out on Steak in the Plains. Spencer's done a good job on that. But I think we'll probably learn a few more things, some little wrinkles on the defensive side that we may not have been expecting. Offense, we'll learn really how fast Yost wants to keep that tempo. And I also want to learn how our kicking game is going to turn out.
So speaking of tempo, Bruffy mentioned this in his segment of the Monday press conference. He said, we've always gone fast in Texas Tech, but this is going to be different fast.
And that's what Choate said in his press conference too. He said the same thing. He said, you know, these guys are used to playing up tempo, but he knew Wells and he knew Yost and he knew as much about Texas Tech as a lot of people. Yeah. And he was saying that that'll be the biggest adjustment for this offense. So I think he sees the same thing.
All right. Last question from Kyle. Chick-fil-A or Popeyes? So if you haven't been following, Popeyes released a chicken sandwich recently.
I don't understand. Okay.
So I sat in line to pick one up Friday.
Yeah, the line was long today too. I went to Cane's before I came home and the line was to the road.
Yeah, it wasn't that long. It seemed like more of a process issue getting people through fast enough.
Yeah, that's how Popeyes works. It's not Chick-fil-A when it comes to that.
No, it's not fast.
It was
okay. So I got really the spicy version of it. I got the spicy chicken sandwich.
It's almost too spicy.
No, it was just like, meh. It was a chicken sandwich. Sauce. Yeah, it wasn't anything special. I would not wait in line to do that again.
I don't know why this is all of a sudden coming up, because about 2 months ago, the sandwich came out. I had it 2 months ago or longer, and I really enjoyed it, and I thought it was good. And then about a month later, my wife had it, and she thought it was good too, but I mean, it's not worth sitting in their drive-thru for it.
So I wonder if all that extra traffic was like social-based.
It
that,
was.
That question that came up late last week was like, Chick-fil-A or Popeyes? Like, I didn't even know Popeyes had a chicken sandwich.
I knew they did. They've had it for and like 3 months here, and no one else knew about it. And I don't know if Lubbock was the test. Were we the test kitchen? I have no idea. But, man, I had that sandwich like 3 months ago, and I thought it was pretty good. And I'll have it again. But, man, it didn't need to set the media on fire. I just think I don't know. I thought it was okay.
Right now, give me Chick-fil-A. I like their deluxe chicken sandwich where you can put like bacon and cheese on it. Those are actually really good.
No, that's just getting crazy.
Yep. Okay. Tristan Mack. Within the sporting media, a lot of people were thinking Tech's trip to Arizona would end up being an L, with Arizona's journey to the Pacific resulting in a loss to a group of five that is not picked to win the Mountain West. Does that give fans a more confident reason to believe Texas Tech will be 3-0 in non-conference? So we touched on a lot. I may be a little more confident, but it's still like you're going to have to prove me wrong on your ability to stop a rushing quarterback. Their defense doesn't look like they were all that good, giving up 42 points to Hawaii. Again, I don't know how good Hawaii is. I'm not sure how much you can take from a week zero game against Hawaii, because I know teams are incentivized to schedule Hawaii because of the travel involved.
Yeah.
But –
well, just to think about it, last year when you went up against a mobile quarterback at home against Houston, you won the game, Derek but you King, allowed yep. 49 points.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not so sure that Khalil Tate wouldn't be able to, you know, reproduce something along those lines, because
at home too.
Yeah, just real quickly, I mean, Derek King, he had five touchdowns. He threw, he went 30 for 51. And he ran for 47 yards. I mean,
you needed Alan Bowman to set the freshman passing record to beat. You didn't need that to beat them, because you beat them by 21 points.
Right.
Well, you beat them by 14, but Houston scored a garbage time touchdown. You were essentially up 21
Well, Houston jumped out. They had 21 in the first quarter. I mean, I'm just not super confident either. It's kind of the let's see them prove me wrong at this point.
That's where I'm at. Chad Hasty, will Queso be involved? Now, I'm going to blame this on you, Chad. Yes, Queso was involved tonight. I actually had Uber Eats deliver Queso before the show.
Yeah, we had
a pregame snack.
We're going to have to learn. We're going to have to learn Rob Rowe's mantra of no free ads, but. These are from Caprock Cafe and they're delicious.
We may have to take up, like, I don't know if it was Chad's advice to do what Hyatt does and just like go to a restaurant and say, hey, can we record here? Can you give us drinks and an appetizer? We'll pimp you throughout the show.
Yeah. Give us some really nice waters.
My first ask would be to Caprock.
Yeah, that'd be mine too.
Shocker. Rob Bro chimes in with a question. How excited are you to be joining Rob Bro for Countdown to Kickoff this season?
Pretty excited, Rob.
No, I can't wait, man.
Really,
we met with them last Thursday to kind of set up the format of the show. I don't know why it was exciting to like walk through like the segments and the breaks, like the logistics of when there'll be a break. I don't know
how radio works.
That got me excited.
Yeah, I'm excited about it too. It's live. People are going to be listening. They're going to be tailgating. Maybe. They're going to be, you know, just hanging around the house, got the radio on. So,
hey, so
it's going to be fun.
When we do go on the air, be sure to text in, call us, make sure we have content to talk about. So we're not just sitting there four guys just BSing for 2 hours, which we know the two of us can fill 2 hours, but four of us, it could just be a disaster.
It'll be great.
I'm sure it'll be great. Cause
it'll be great either way.
Rob's a professional.
Yeah. Here. They're professionals. We will,
we'll
try to fill in the spackle.
I always talk about Rob being the professional. Carson's a professional.
Yeah.
I also haven't met Carson yet.
Tucker Lawrence is a professional. Yeah. He's their producer. Does a great job.
The first time meeting Carson is going to be like 20 minutes before we go on the air on Saturday. Yeah. So it's going to be like, hey man, what's up? Let's develop a relationship and let's go talk on the radio.
Let's do a show together. It's going to be great.
So yeah, we're excited to do that. So Cooper Burnett, one, I think we go 8-4, slip ups against Iowa State, Oklahoma, UT, and Baylor. So he thinks you take my schedule 7-5, but you flip Arizona.
Okay. I can see the logic there.
I think 8-4 is doable.
Just 8-4 on just when someone says 8-4.
In principle, I know it's hard to get behind that.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I'm also once I start thinking, like, when I look at the schedule, like I have a hard time seeing losses outside of like Texans and OU. But I was like,
Iowa State.
If I stop there, but even then I'm like, oh, you know, maybe we can do it. But like, okay, Iowa State. Well, that's 9-3.
Well, I know.
but like, it's hard for me to talk myself into like, no, you're probably gonna lose to Arizona. You're probably gonna lose to Baylor. It's like, I don't think it's out of the question. You could go 9-3. Now, is it like super unlikely? Yeah, but I'm having a hard time talking myself out of 9-3. It was difficult for me to put down 7-5.
Yeah.
I'm on the like more optimistic side than even 7-5.
Oh no, man, you're
which is bad.
I'm
set myself up for
reel it in, my man.
Disappointment. Which game will have the most surprising results?
I like that question.
Cuz he doesn't say positive or negative.
The bowl game. I'm just kidding.
You don't have us going to a bowl game, Michael.
No, I don't. For me right now, I think, I don't know what would be the most surprising to me. Let me go back to my list and just kind of
most surprising results.
That is a good one. I would be okay. Here's a couple of doomsday scenarios. I would be very surprised if we lost to Kansas. And if we're going to go extreme, I would be very surprised if we beat Oklahoma. Okay, no duh. Everyone would be surprised about that. But I guess semi-realistic is kind of what you were just talking about. If we beat Iowa State at home, that would be probably...
I don't know if it would be like a surprise unless it was like a big win too. Like I think it's not out of the question that you could beat Iowa State. I just think if you beat them by like 10, 14 points or more, that would be a surprise.
Well, okay, real quick. I know we're going.
We're already over.
We're already over time, but I wanted to see. Okay, so they're coming in after playing Northern Iowa, Louisiana Monroe, Baylor, TCU, West Virginia, then us. They could be undefeated coming to Lubbock with a possible loss against
one
Iowa.
Of those teams.
I don't know if they – I mean, they almost beat Iowa last year. They probably should beat them this year. So they could be undefeated coming into Lubbock, and that would definitely look like a big win because Tech won't be undefeated.
Most likely.
Most likely.
If we go undefeated at home and have the block party, is there a path to .10 wins?
Oh, my gosh.
Cooper is even further on the optimistic side than I am. I mean, if you win all your games at home, Montana State, UTEP, Oklahoma State, Iowa State, TCU, Kansas State, so that's 6 wins. The problem with getting to 10 is you then have to win 4 out of Arizona, Oklahoma, Baylor, Kansas, Kansas State, and Texas.
I think you probably have
a good shot at 2, Kansas or West Virginia. Next most likely would be either Arizona or Baylor, but you would have to probably get both of those.
I think your only shot at 10 is if you include a bowl game.
But
even in that perfect,
even if you got
scenario,
to 10 wins with the bowl game, like that's 5 more games than you won last season. In a year, you probably should have won more than 5 games last year.
That sounds
year.
Really hard to do.
It does. Big 12 championship game prediction. I have Oklahoma over Iowa State. I'm feeling to shake it up a little bit. Give me Texas over Iowa State.
Oh, wow. You're not even going to have OU make it?
I think they'll be like 10-2, but they'll like have the tiebreaker. Like Iowa State will own the tiebreaker or something.
I think I'm going to put OU over Texas, and I already hate myself for it.
Okay. That may have been our last question. Yes, it was. Okay.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for the questions, guys.
Oh, I always appreciate you guys weighing in, giving us stuff to talk about. Really quickly, we'll talk about Going Yard. So I've got some spots. Sorry, I failed to pimp this the right way. Everybody's favorite segment, Going Yard.
Which I am going to... Okay, I've got some free time this week. I'm going to make a promo for Going Yard for next week. And you will listen to it maybe before... I guess... Anyway... I'm going
to
make one.
All right. I'm excited to hear it.
I have some ideas.
I had some spots struggling in my yard, and I think I finally figured out what they were. Like, it was strange. I've got spots that are almost completely dead, which is unusual for me. I was like, maybe it was had something to do with, like, the sprinklers not having very good cover, and they just dried out for long enough. They just died. But then I started seeing a very specific weed in that section. It was coming up called Nuts Edge, which is also called watergrass.
It's called what now?
Nut sedge. Because here's the thing.
Nut sedge.
The seeds for this actually grow under the ground at the base of the plant. So like if you were to pull this weed, it actually breaks it off from the seed and just basically replants itself. You have to chemically kill it to control it.
Oh gosh.
Anyway, so it's also called watergrass. It grows in places that are extra damp. So it's like, it doesn't make sense to have grass dying because it's not covered by sprinklers, but also have nut's edge in it. So I walked over. There's one test I was thinking I could try out to see if it was something else. I pulled up on the grass and it pulled up like a carpet, like a bad piece of sod that hadn't taken root. I was like, you know what happened? I believe there are grubs that ate the roots off of this grass that killed it. And now it just, the grass, the blades on top are disconnected from anything underneath the ground. So it's one big mat and it pulls up. So grubs eat roots. Be aware of that. If you have a lot of moths around your house, moths are what are coming up out of the ground from these grubs. The grubs will eat all your roots, kill big sections of your grass, and then you'll have a bunch of moths around your house. And you're like, oh, that's why all my grass is dead. The problem is once you start seeing the effects of grubs, the damage is done, right? There's no like bringing that grass back because it's now disconnected from any root system because the grubs ate it all. So that grass is dead. It'll get ripped up when I do my overseeding on the bye week, the 21st.
Oh man, you got your bye week planned already.
I got my whole day worked out.
Oh, that's so great.
So you got to stay proactive on the grub treatment. You got to do preventative maintenance on that one.
Okay.
All right. Let's get to what we learned.
What did we learn, Palmer? I don't know, sir.
I don't know either.
So, Michael, what did we learn this week?
What did we learn this week? It's something that I probably saw and may have even mentioned on this very podcast a few months ago, but I finally got it through my thick skull that you will not be able to re-enter the Jones unless you purchase another ticket
this
starting this season.
Mm-hmm.
And I've, you know, I saw Pete Christie post about it on Facebook, and I screenshotted it and shot it out to Twitter and gotten quite a few people responding to it, and they're all kind of saying the same thing, that we think, you know, it has a lot to do with alcohol sales is the theory behind it, along with the fact that the dwindling attendance and people leaving in mass droves and then just never coming back probably has a lot to do with it. I know I've been guilty of that sometimes, to go grab a beer in the Fraser and then you're down by 28 and you think, okay,
what's the point of going back?
Maybe I'll just grab another beer and stay here. So I can see that. And it's just going to affect things. I had a guy that tweeted to me today, and he came with a loophole and said, so students will arrive after halftime if the game is good. And I thought, oh man, I didn't think of that. But hopefully that won't be the case. Hopefully people will come, they'll stay. Because if you leave, you're not coming back in. And that's just something that I don't think has ever been effect since I've been a tech student.
Mm-hmm. And I don't think it's a way for them to sell more tickets. Well, although the sign says, like, to re-enter, you'll need another ticket.
Yeah, because someone did say, well, just buy another $5 ticket and come back in. And I thought, well sure, for this game, yeah.
That might work for this week, and next week it's going to be $10. But I think it's more to keep people from leaving the stadium.
That's it. I really think that's it. And it's kind of under the guise of, well, we sell alcohol now, and we think that people will stay.
It may have to do with like a liability thing. But
that,
like,
as well.
Because previous years, like if somebody had some kind of public intoxication incident, Texas Tech had no liability because they didn't serve alcohol. But now that they do, there may be some kind of responsibility on their end if somebody were to leave a game and have some kind of incident happen because of intoxication.
I just think what this translates to is that season tickets are way down.
I think it's like 10,000-15,000 under last season.
No, I don't think it was that bad. It was in the 20s. But for Kingsbury's first year, it was in the 40s. For Tuberville's first year, I think it was 43,000,
mm-hmm.
which is the highest it's been.
I think ever.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Leach got in the 40s,
and it was a smaller stadium back then.
Sure, and I don't think he got it as high as Tuberville. I think Seth posted this, but I think last year it was 28,000. This year it's 22.
Oof.
So I think they're really scratching their heads, and of course the easy solution, I say easy in quotes,
is to lock them in the stadium.
Well, no, just start winning games.
Well, sure,
that's everyone's point, and they're right, but it's also, okay, that doesn't help. That doesn't help the current situation. If you're putting out a 4 or 5 win team, you win 3 games at home a year, what do you do until you start winning? You've got to try other things and do other things. And I think this is just showing that they're really scratching their heads. I think they're not panicking, but they're getting close.
Yeah. All right, buddy. We appreciate you hanging with us for another week of the 23 Personnel Podcast. I'm your host, Spencer, joined by Michael. Catch us on Talk 1340, The Fan, Saturday starting at noon, heading up until 2 o'clock. A 2-hour show starting 3 hours before kickoff. Don't forget those numbers. Super confusing at times. 1340 a.m. And then we will have a post-game instant reaction podcast shortly following the game. I know we said we'd be under an hour. We are 12 minutes over. We will be better. Michael, you have anything else?
Nope, nothing else. Just follow us on the Twitters haven't already, at 23Personnel, at Michael_LBK, and at PuntSuck. And we will see you guys on Saturday.
Peace.